Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
The testing of our faith is what develops perseverance, and that's what we're talking about right now. It's perseverance. How do children persevere through those high school years, through the transitions?
Remember your self-esteem, your self-respect, and your self-worth. Hold strong to them because people are watching.
I just want to be on the field in the game when my kids are experiencing some of these things, as opposed to a training model that just releases them to go make them on their own.
Well, something. I mean, you can't just wait until she's a teenager and expect her to figure out everything all at once.
I will not tell you how to raise your children, and you will not tell me how to raise mine.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, and just a moment, part one of Jim's conversation with Adam Stattmiller. He is the pastor to 30 and 40-year-olds at North Coast Calvary Chapel in Carlsbad, California. Has a great book out called Give Your Kids the Keys, and he outlines some principles for leading your kids to a sustainable faith. You will not want to miss this program. Adam's a really great guy. Homeward is here because of your prayers and faithful financial support. And as we get closer and closer to the end of 2012, as you consider your year-end giving, would you consider a gift, a tax-deductible donation, to support the Ministry of Homeward? You can give that gift online. Our website's absolutely secure when you go to homeward.com. And now with part one of today's program, here's Jim.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Very happy to be here today. We're going to talk about leading your kids to a sustainable faith. Important conversation today with Adam Stattmiller, a friend of mine. He's currently overseeing the Discipleship Training Center and the 30-something ministry at a great church in Southern California where we're based, called North Coast Calvary Chapel. It's in Carlsbad, California. Makes his home there in the San Diego area with his wife and their two daughters. Welcome to our show.
Hey, it's an honor to be here.
It's great to be with you, and you have a new book called Give Your Kids the Keys, Navigating Your Child to a Personal and Sustainable Faith. By the way, I read it before it came out and loved it, so good job.
Right on.
It's one of the deep desires of every Christian parent's heart is that their kids would grow spiritually, have a sustainable faith. But the truth is, and we quote this a lot at Homeward, is that about 60% of the kids are leaving the church after high school, and yet one of the things that now we're waking up to see is that parents play an amazingly important role. And you say that basically we all have our own parenting style, but you talk about two. You talk about a gas pedal parent and a brake pedal parent. Help us understand what that is.
Yeah, well, the book is about parental discipleship. And the first section is something I wanted to jump right into right away is the commodity of fear that I think the devil trades in, especially in families. The devil trades fear in our culture. And I think it's easy to start protecting our kids as best we can from everything. And basically, I had a friend say it recently, that it's almost like we're trying to rapture our kids out of the culture completely, to set them aside, and then to really camp on Proverbs 22:6, which is, raise your children up in the way they should go, and really with an idea of a filling model, as opposed to seeing them as flames or fires to be lit, so to speak. Mm. And so, this really came to, for me, I look back at, a lot of things I got into. I was part of that demographic that left the church after being very excited, having some camp experiences that were amazing. And I got into some pretty bad things. And I remember as my daughter was getting ready to be born, my first daughter, Lily, I was kind of looking at her childhood and high school and middle school for sure, like there was a coming flood. And I realized that when you go on a trip, you think about your vacation, you just got back from China. You don't think about all the dangers, so to speak, unless you're going to some, crazy war zone. You think about all the great things. And instead, I was looking at all the possible negative things that could happen. And so instead of seeing, God's promises for my kids, I kind of began our parenting journey with fear? What do I need to protect them from? In the end, I think I ended up protecting them from God, some of the experiences that he would have them experience. And so by gas pedal, I mean this, that with our children, I think kids today are looking for challenge. They're looking for the ability to see what God has to offer and to be kind of sent forth alongside of you in a discipleship way where you go experience the faith together. And what I'm seeing mostly is what do we keep our kids from as opposed to, you know, what do we put our kids towards? And so, you know, you look into driving. You know, one of the best things in defense of driving is not to slam on the brakes. And I know that when I was a kid, you know, my parents, my mom, when I started going off the deep end, the brakes hit. And I just wonder what it would have looked like if there would have been someone to say, hey, you know, look what's happening in China, like you just went. What if our family was able to you know, raise support and go on a trip to there or lay something before me that I could actually be the hands and feet of Jesus? And so that's what I mean. Gas pedal is engaging Jesus into your children's life and giving them challenge.
It's interesting. You said that you said a phrase that was fascinating because you said parental discipleship.
Yeah.
And in many ways, what you're talking about is you talk about the gas pedal and the brake pedal is discipleship. And a lot of parents, number one, don't see themselves as disciples. They see people in youth ministry, the wonderful youth pastor or the children's minister, or, you know, somebody who's involved in the church doing it because they're saying, not me.
Yeah.
But number one, we're discipling our kids whether we like it or not. And a lot of us don't like it because we say, gosh, we're not living it perfectly and we don't know this or that. But secondly, when you talked about the what I call the Christian bubble, we try to put our kids in a bubble and they can't, and so much of it is this break side to it. You know, it's a frightening culture out there. And I want to play the devil's advocate for a minute because a lot of parents would say, well, it's such a frightening culture that I don't want my kids, you know, being thrown into this culture, so I'm just going to hold them back. What you're saying is that doesn't work.
Well, it didn't work for me. You know, your kids are going to experience a culture. And what I see happening is the model is to prepare your kids as much as possible. And then the hope is when you do release them into the world, they're prepared to see all these things and experience them. We're seeing that that's not working. It's actually, the last Barna statistic I saw was 70-80% of kids are leaving the church. I want my kids, they say it is the testing, I think it was in James, the testing of our faith is what develops perseverance. And that's what we're talking about right now. It's perseverance. How do children persevere through those high school years, through the transitions? And so the thing that I, with discipleship is allowing our kids the opportunity to experience. Now, every parent has their own, you know, a barometer on how far to take that. And it's going to be different for sure. So I don't want to make the claim of what to do. But I just want to be on the field in the game when my kids are experiencing some of these things, as opposed to a training model that just releases them to go make them on their own.
Yeah, it's an interesting comment. And you alluded to the fact that you did not have exactly a smooth ride through your adolescence.
No.
At age 16, your dad died.
Yep. 16th, the day, 3 days before my 16th birthday.
Wow. And through that process, then you got involved in some pretty tough stuff. I mean, you did some drugs and you did you know, some real acting out.
Yeah. Yeah.
What would you say to the parent whose kid is in that place right now, and they're hearing you say, fine, they need to be growing and we need to develop a sustainable faith, and at the same time, they're afraid that each night their kid may not come back because, you know, they were driving drunk or they were, you know, making some really unwise decisions?
Yeah, I think kids want to know that parents believe in them and that believe that their voice matters. And this is what Jesus did all the time. You had disciples that were, you know, the you know, not the number one guys in society. And Jesus came, he got into their boats, he met them when they were net cleaning, he looked them in the eye and he said, you matter, now let's go to the deep water. And I really believe it's challenging kids. You know, Jesus did it in stages. He got in their boat, he let them listen, then he said, push the boat out a little bit from shore. And next thing they know, they're in deep water, they're experiencing this miraculous catch. And not only that, they call their friends. There's a second boat mentioned in the Luke 5 passage. They call their friends out to experience the catch with them. So what I would say to parents is, especially when your kids are going astray, is to let them know how much you believe in them. And then give them challenge. I'm going to give you a quick little story. A friend of mine called me. My daughter's spent the night out. She's a Christian kid. I know she didn't do anything that night. She was out all night, got back at 6 in the morning. She's never done anything like this. What's happening? Found out that she's dating. We'll call him Danny. Danny is, found out he just got out of juvie. What's going on? And she's so fearful when she calls me. And she says, what do I do? And I said, well, go to your daughter and say, hey, you know what? I want to meet this Danny, because she'd already told him, you can't meet him, you can't see him, and the daughter rebels, slammed the door, the whole deal. I said, go tell her that, you know what, I believe in you. I know that you know God. She's a Christian girl that it's, you know, proven that. And Danny might be the man for the rest of your life. I said, invite Danny over for dinner. And I said, spend time with Danny and invite him and tell her you want to be a part of that relationship. And she goes, I can't do that. Well, she spent 2 weeks before she get those words out of her mouth. She finally said it to her daughter. She said she's never seen her daughter be speechless. And she goes, Mom, you're just saying that because you want to control it. She goes, no, you can actually go on a date with Danny. That girl's 17. She said, you can actually go on a date with Danny after. I just want him to come over afterwards. I want to meet him and know him. Within 2 days, she asked her daughter, when's Danny coming on? Oh, I broke up with him. Well, why'd you break up with him? Yeah, he just wasn't the right guy for me. Now, I'm not saying that works in every single situation, and it's pretty radical. Right. But what she said was, you matter, and I believe in you. And the child had a history, obviously, of making some good decisions. But what she wanted to do was go brake pedal on her. You can't see it. And you know what? I just knew as a 17-year-old, and I do believe this for my children, when your kids get into high school, they're going to do what they want to do. And no matter how much I lock them down, they're going to figure out how to do it. And so what I'd rather do is say, hey, I want to be along with you for the journey. I want to help you to do this. Once again, every parent has their own barometer. But in this situation, it worked.
Great, great insight. Adam Stapp Miller with us. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. His book is called Give Your Kids the Keys. Are you a gas pedal parent or are you a brake pedal parent? I bet you're a little bit of both. We'll learn more in just a moment. Roger, tell us about the book.
Well, it's an interesting conversation that we're having here on the Homeward Broadcast because Adam is basically telling parents things that we might be afraid to hear. But if you want to learn more about this book, again, it's called Give Your Kids the Keys, and it's got a cool cover. The cars that they use in the front is just really, really classic cherry, as my friends used to say. And if you'd like more information on that, go to homeward.com. We've got Adam's website linked to ours today, so you can just look at the broadcasting schedule. You'll see Adam Stapmiller's name. Hit the click, and it'll take you right to his website. You can get all the information you need. It's a book that's available wherever Christian books are sold, and it's one that Dr. Jim Burns highly recommends. Speaking of books that Dr. Jim Burns highly recommends, Jim's book, Confident Parenting, is the kind of resource that you can use to give yourself the confidence you need to be the kind of parent your kids need, too. You can order a copy directly from our Homeward Online Resource Center, and when you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to support our ministry. Check that out as well at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
I don't know, Mom. I'm afraid Rachel's going to be just like I was in high school.
Oh, you weren't so bad.
Mom, don't you remember how much trouble I got into? I mean, I think you and Dad wound up grounding me for most of my junior year.
Well, just because we grounded you didn't mean we thought you were a bad kid.
You didn't?
Of course not, Leanne. True, you made some interesting choices when you were younger, but your father and I always knew that deep down, God had great things in store for you.
Sure, it would be great if there was some sort of magical formula a parent could use that was guaranteed to transform a rebellious child into a spiritual titan. However, the reality is just such a potion doesn't exist. At our website, you'll find a number of free materials designed to help you pass along a spiritual legacy to your children. One is the tip sheet called Why Your Faith Matters to Your Kids. You can download a free copy when you log on to homeward.com.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Great conversation today. Adam Stapmiller with us. We're talking about leading your kids to a sustainable faith. And as Roger just mentioned, his book is called Give Your Kids the Keys. Not an easy thing to do, by the way. You know, Adam, right before the break, we were talking about parents being disciplers. And there's something that I talk a lot about, actually. I talk about it with parents and with youth workers. I call it PTD, Personally Tailored Discipleship. And, you know, you have two daughters, I have three daughters, and I find that, you know, for me, you know, just as I was trying to figure it out with my oldest, Christy, all of a sudden Rebecca comes along and she has a different way of even looking at faith.
Yeah.
How do you do something like this? If you're trying to give the gas pedal to one kid, I can see going right along with it. With the next, you may have to, you know, back off a bit. What kind of advice do you have for a parent who's saying, you know, I'm struggling with one of my kids and one of my other kids, you know, it seems to work really easy.
Well, let me start with your first thing about discipleship. I mean, the C.S. Lewis Institute just came out with the July newsletter that said there's a crisis in American discipleship. Mm-hmm. That is definitely true. We have gone, my generation, I'm sorry to, you know, I'm 42, but my generation has gone to the more caught than taught model, the let's just do life together, have coffee. That is definitely part of discipleship. But I was raised as, you know, Wesleyan Methodist in John Maxwell's church. And I mean, we did discipleship. You know, it was books and all that. And there wasn't as much walking along dirt roads. So I got to find somewhere in between there. And you know, one thing I would say for parents is I really think you can be a great parent and fail as a discipler. We see that with non-Christian parents all the time. I mean, because if that wasn't true, then you couldn't be a good parent if you were a non-Christian. And I think there's a lot of great parents that, you know, they spend time, they give love, empathy, these things. But discipleship, what I've tried to do is pull it out and compartmentalize the two for parents and say that, hey, parenting is so much, oftentimes can go to just provision and protectionism, which is definitely part of the journey. But then what about this idea of that we see with Jesus? Jesus had this amazing way to disciple along the way, to disciple along the road. And he was constantly looking at nature. He was constantly looking at life situations. He was constantly looking at the things around him and then bringing, in the same way that the psalmists do, the individual he was discipling, and this is your rabbinical model, into that situation. So for parents, to answer your question, what you need to do is invite Jesus or make your children aware of Christ in the situation that is right for them. So if one child's into sports, then how do you bring Christ into that? Right. If one child is into the arts, if one child is into nature and loves to surf or be out there, how do you bring Jesus along the way? And only you know, like, the way of each of your children. But it is along that way where you begin to incorporate and decompartmentalize Jesus. I mean, we are so good, Jim, at the dinner table, at knowing how to pray. We are so good at bedtime. I mean, most of your listeners probably do a really quality bedtime. But how good are you in the car? You know, is the car ever more than chaos? Is it ever a sanctuary? How are you walking in the parking lot from, you know, at the local food store? How are you on the, and this is where Jesus excelled. You know, you don't see Jesus a lot in the scriptures, in the religious places. He was excelling in teaching. He was excelling in discipleship along the way. And so I would say that it is the unshackling of Jesus. We're really hindering our children by just letting them experience Jesus in spiritual places.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And actually, it goes right along with you know, the Shema in Deuteronomy.
That's
where
it
says, you know, when you get up in the morning, when you know, go to bed at night, when you walk along the road.
Roads.
Obviously, that's driving in a car these days,
because
they were walking. But, you know, you see these amazing conversations that Jesus had with his disciples weren't in a formal setting.
No.
And actually, that should give comfort to parents to say, look, you don't have to, you know, every night sit down at the table and walk through, you know, in the Greek, this means, and here's 5 points and two poems. But in reality, it's doing life together. And that is actually the best way to do, you know, to do discipleship. Now, I thought it was fascinating when I was reading in your book, you talked about helping kids set high spiritual standards for our kids.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, you know, you've heard the thing, and you and I would disagree with this like crazy, but, you know, you're the future of the church. Well, in some ways, they're not the future of the church. They need to have this now. And and you gave some illustrations of, you know, David fighting Goliath when he was very, very young. You know, Mary is a middle schooler.
Yeah.
You know, basically going on and on. John the Baptist, Timothy, you gave some of these types of illustrations. Speak to that. The importance of setting high spiritual standards for your kids, you know, at least helping them find that.
Well, let me just start that your parents that are listening right now already know how to do this. They already know how to set high standards, and they already in areas of the world, in sports, in academics, in drama. We are so good. I can look at my two-year-old, and I can put a ball, like any father can do, you put a ball in front of her. And my daughter, Lily, at 2 years old, she kicked the ball straight. Well, what is the first thing I thought? Oh my goodness, she probably has a future in professional whatever, you know, soccer. My 2.5-year-old, 3-year-olds in ballet, and I'm just looking, and I'm, you know, and my mind is moving to seeing her as the prima donna at the National Ballet in England, you know, in London. And so you can see it, you can get a vision for that. We're so good at that. We know what academics looks like, and then we know how to gear our parenting towards that. Well, you know, I wonder if we do the same things with the things of the Spirit, if we do the same things with the things of God. You know, what if your child has a proclivity for the teaching of the Word? You know, which is one thing my daughter Lily, and this goes into the whole spiritual gifts idea, that if your children are believers, they have spiritual gifts. You never see anything. Well, you don't often see things on children's spiritual gifts or on ministry. I'm a firm believer that my 2.5, well, she's 3.5 now, that was led to Christ. It's legitimate. I saw fruit in her life when her sister led her to Christ when we weren't around. Her 8-year-old sister led her to Christ. That she has gifts of the Spirit that God has given her, even if it's just one. And she has a calling to be in ministry. And so what is my 3.5-year-old's ministry? So once again, looking, my 8-year-old Lily, one of the ways I knew that she was a Bible teacher is I would share scriptures. And if she'd heard that scripture before and I got it wrong, like once I said, you know, God was hovering over the sea, and she said, no, Dad, it was the waters. Now, this is last year. She's a 7-year-old or whatever. And I was like, you know, well, you know, I knew she was right. And I said, you know, you're right. She has an attention to detail in scripture. Well, that's what teachers do. So I thought, well, I wonder if she has a teaching gift. I went to our youth pastor and I said, hey, do you mind if my 8-year-old, 7-year-old teaches the 3- and 4-year-old class? He says, no, it's a great idea. And, you know, at her school, they have big buddies. Mm-hmm. And so the public school system already gets this. They let the 8-year-olds sure. come in and do this. And they're way ahead of us in these areas. And so I went and I taught her the Bible lesson. And I gave it to my daughter, and she went and did it. And I sat in with her, and she taught the Word of God to this preschool class. And that's what I'm talking about. It's just we have to wake up to the things of God, that, you know, gifts of mercy, gifts of encouragement, all these things. And then let our kids say, that might be your ministry. Not push them into it, but then equip them. Get them, you know, get them a tutor. Get them in, you know, how much money do we pay for after-school sports classes and all-star sports teams? We drive up and down Southern California to do this. But are we going to do the same and take them to a rescue mission? You know, I just don't see it. So I know that's one of my, I mean, maybe it's, you can tell the emotion on that one, but I'm pretty into
that's
seeing
great.
Our kids
perfect.
Step up.
I'm glad you're pushing us on this. You have a phrase that I underlined, the Jesus approach to deep water faith.
Yeah, I mentioned it a little bit. It's in the, I think the deep water moments of faith come in the net cleaning moments of life. And that's that Luke 5 passage that I talk about. And, you know, Peter's just there. They've been unproductive, unfruitful. They're cleaning their nets, just doing normal things. And the next thing they know, they're out there having 150 or no, I guess that was in John, but they're catching, you know, more fish than they can put in the boat. And then they're dedicating their life to Jesus to follow him forever. Moments after that, they're just cleaning nets. And the next moment he's falling at his knees and confessing Christ and saying, I will follow you. You know, go away from me. I'm a sinful man. He's just cleaning his nets. And that moment happens. You know, Tony Dungy, I just finished his book, Quiet Strength, loved it. So much about integrity and family. And he said, you know, the goal for me was never the Super Bowl. The goal for me was excellent in the ordinary things. That's a paraphrase. But I just think that to have excellence in the idea of bringing Christ into the moment, the net cleaning moments, you never know what someone might do. And we all have things in our life where one person did one little thing. And I was thinking about it on the way here. The first time I ever went to Protestant church, I got saved. We were at John Maxwell's church, and we'd been Catholic. We got invited, and when I was there, the guy brought donuts to the, you know, the Sunday school class. I was just, you know, a sixth grader. I'd never had a donut, you know, in catechism. They didn't bring me donuts, you know what I'm saying? And I ate a donut, and I thought, I still remember that. And it opened my heart up that when John made a call, I went forward that night as a sixth grader, and he grabbed my hands and led me to Christ one-on-one at the altar there when, I think, you know, he was 31, a traveling evangelist before his leadership guru days. And I thought, one guy just gave me a donut. You know, and I dedicated the book to a guy named Chris Conrad, who invited my brother to Disneyland. And that's how we got on the church mailing list. That one simple act of a 13-year-old, a friendship evangelism, has changed our eternity. And so that's what I'm talking about. This Jesus approach is always being aware in your homework moments, in, you know, the moments that we just consider ordinary and common. It's like common glory. And that's what I want to see. I want to do things excellent. I want to see Jesus in the common, and then maybe, you know, we'll see heaven ripped open, because it's that kingdom thing happening. That Matthew, you know, 5, 6, 7 kingdom thing happening where we're bringing it to earth. So
great, great input. I wish we had more time. We'll have to ask you to come back so you can come back next time. We can keep talking about
right
this.
On.
Great, Adam. Really appreciate this. You know, our job as parents is to really help our kids become the Christ followers that, in many ways, God desires them to be. And I think this book and I think this message is going to be a very good conversation. And I'll look forward to more later.
All right. For the next edition of the Homeward Broadcast, if you're podcasting with us already, you may already have this in your iPod. But I want to tell you about that because it's important that you know that we stream audio at homeward.com. There's no subscription fee. You don't have to be part of a club membership or anything like that. You can just go ahead and get that audio stream. Also, as far as podcasting goes, that's free as well. And it can be kind of a hassle to go through the process of iTunes and figure out where everything is. So we have a link for you at homeward.com. If you hit the podcast button, it'll take you right to our site on iTunes, and you can join the tens of thousands of people who podcast the daily edition of the Homeward program. Now, there's also a weekend edition, half-hour version, and a weekend edition, full-hour version. We have a 60-second short feature as well, and you can access all of those in our archives at homeward.com. And so if you don't have a chance to listen to the daily radio edition of the program, you can always check us out in the archives and listen to us as well. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.